Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Your fantasy season doesn't end after your draft. The Fantasy Football Today podcast is going to get you through the season and to a championship. Fantasy Football Today, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network, has episodes every single day. Waiver wire, trade talk, starter sit, mailbags, and more. If you want to win your league, you need to listen to Fantasy Football Today. Follow and listen to Fantasy Football Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 8:05 here on a Tuesday morning. It is a Top 5 Tuesday. Never had the amount of feedback flow through my phone and these phone lines that we did just a minute ago when we gave the Top 5 Confections, the Halloween Confections list. And I'll read it to you guys one more time before we get the headlines. Number 5 was Kit Kat. Number 4 was Twix. Number 3 was Snickers. Number 2 was Almond Joy. And number 1 was Reese's Cups.
You know, you could have said the Top 5 Halloween Chocolate Candy. I mean, you don't have to use this big word.
Then you start getting like Hershey's Kisses.
Yeah.
And you start going down a whole nother
route.
Okay,
but you're using M&Ms. The word. But hold on, you're using the word confection because you're not sure if you would consider a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup a candy bar.
I don't think that's the real issue going on right now.
I think it's not.
The list in general.
I think it is.
Yeah.
And the almond
and my mom weighed in. She goes, tell Bo that he can sit down and hush, and that Almond Joy is goated. I think that was her exact verbiage. So
okay.
We'll just see when we get there.
Well, I'll tell you that UGA Dog says you just confectioned that list adding Almond Joy.
Doesn't even make sense.
Coach CJ
just sweetened
said,
then sweetened it up.
You wilding with Almond Joy as number 2. No way it makes a top 5. I'm with Squid Billy. So I don't
we'll
know,
get
man.
There. We'll get there.
Yeah, I want to get you caught up before you clock in this morning on today's headlines. The Hawks did lose to the Bulls last night, 128-123. They'll play the Nets tomorrow. Pregame is at 7 right here on 92.9 The Game. Tip-off is set for 7:30. The Chiefs beat the Commanders in Monday Night Football. Freddie Freeman did it again. World Series is now 2-1. Dodgers ahead of the Blue Jays after Freddie walked it off in the 18th inning. Final score, 6-5. It only took 6 hours, 39 minutes. They got to play again tonight. Game 4 is at 8 o'clock this evening.
Yeah, there you go. And look, I'll just reiterate this one more time, too. Don't come at me about the Butterfinger. I'm just telling you, like, Butterfinger, it's one of those things that sounds good on paper, but it just doesn't ever equate to what you think it's going to.
You know who's happy that you're saying this right now is Bart Simpson. Better not lay a finger on my Butterfinger.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's happy that you don't like him. I'll take all the Butterfingers. Those
they're
are
just,
amazing.
They're not good.
What don't you like about them?
They're the Atlanta Falcons of candy bars. They look great. They look great on paper, but they just don't deliver in crunch time. Literally, in crunch time. They get stuck in your teeth. Like, it's a whole thing.
They do. I mean? They kind of have that saltine cracker thing where, like, you take a bite and it all mashes together
and it becomes like a solid.
It does happen.
It's terrible.
Yeah, that does happen.
Dylan, it's time to get the wake-up call. Allie, before we get to the phone lines, you got any tweets that you'd like us to hear? Because sounds like a lot of people weighing in.
There is so much controversy about your list right now. DJ Woomp, and he followed us just to tweet this at us, so I appreciate this. What's up, DJ? Mike's list is by far the worst top 5 list ever on the morning shift.
Dang.
Randy said you are crazy to have Almond Joy at number two.
Yeah. I'm telling you. I got so many texts on my phone, and one of them said Almond Joy has to be rage bait, and then the next one said, Almond Joy could easily be 1B next to Reese's. That's how good Almond Joys are.
I was about to say, I don't understand. I don't understand. I didn't know there was such a love-hate thing with Almond Joy, because my old boss, shout out my guy Sean Isaacs, at the college radio station in West Georgia, he was like, nope, Almond Joy's not it. I was like, bro Almond Joys are goated.
It's the coconut.
Y'all can never get onto me for like working in like little innuendos or little comments into a regular sentence. Like, as Dylan does the same thing. He's like, yeah, I was talking to my boss. Shout out to Sean Isaacs, you know, DJ, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, then like this keeps going. He does the same thing I do. Also,
that's what you're doing right now.
Almond Joy is garbage.
No, it's
not. Everyone knows it.
No,
it's not.
No one likes coconut in their chocolate.
A lot of people do, obviously.
Let's go to the phone lines. Let's hear from the people. Dylan, let's start at the top. We'll go to Damon in Atlanta. Damon, what's going on this morning? Happy Tuesday.
Hey, good morning to you guys. How y'all doing this morning?
Living the dream.
Hey, man, I don't know what's up with you and Squid. Butterfinger and the Almond Joy, those are old soul candy bars. I mean, I just don't understand that. Yeah. You forgot Mr. Good Bar.
Okay.
You forgot Mr. Good Bar.
That's an old soul candy bar.
Yeah, I mean.
And you only get that Damon, in fun size. Damon, nobody Damon. Buys that.
Damon, I can't say that that would have cracked the list, my guy. I can't say that Mr. Good Bar would have cracked my list.
Nobody's ever purchased a Mr. Good Bar in history.
Yeah, not on purpose anyway.
It just shows up in your
That's the
Halloween
one that's
bucket.
Like left in the fundraiser basket.
I don't even know if they got Mr. Good Bars at the Walmart anymore.
That's the one. That, hey, you can buy a lot of those at like Big Lots. You know what I'm saying? Like the thrift store.
I would rather have a Baby Ruth on there than an Almond Joy.
No. I'm telling you, that could have been an honorable mention. I could have gone Milky Way. Could have gone Payday.
I don't know what to think. What do you think about Three Musketeer?
It's for
it's
babies.
Okay. It's fine. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go.
Babies.
Let's
you need more ingredients.
Let's talk to DJ in Dallas. DJ, what's going on, man? Happy Tuesday.
Man, what's going on, y'all? The list was okay, but then all of a sudden, you know, you got to think like a kid. You like have all this good chocolate, and then all of a sudden you're like adult Almond Joy. And it's like it really throws the whole list
off. Whoa. DJ, why do I got to think like a kid? I don't have to think like a kid at all.
We're talking about candy. Who eats more candy, kids or adults on Halloween?
Hey, it depends on what adult you're talking to. I stay
That's
on
true.
Those, okay?
That's true. My wake-up call is, you know, I'm not a Falcons fan, but my wake-up call is for the Falcons. To me, it seems like they don't have, like, a leadership. Like, there's a leadership problem, you know, when nobody holds anybody really accountable. And it's like, you got to hold your teammates accountable if they make a mistake. I don't see anybody, like, ripping into each other if they make a mistake or, hey, you're not doing as well. You know, you need to pick it up. And to me, it feels like they're having that kind of issue.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call. I think there's something to that, but it's hard to say when Drake London and Michael Penix are both on the sideline. Those are two of your leaders. Obviously, I think Matthew Bergeron belongs in that conversation. I don't think Bijan is that guy, but kind of is what it is. I don't think you're that far off. Let's go back to the phone lines. Then let's talk to Swami Dave up in Suwannee. Swami Dave, what's going on, man? Happy Tuesday.
Hey, how's it going today, guys?
Good,
listen,
man.
We got two wake-up calls today. One is for Coach Raheem Morris talking about confidence.
Oof.
Sir, respectfully, you are your record and you are your tape, and neither inspires it.
Fair enough.
Now, as we talk about Halloween and candy, with all due respect, Mike, you can take that full-size Almond Joy, open that wrapper up, take those two little brown gristles.
Be careful here, Swami Dave.
Drop them in your toilet and flush twice.
Be careful, Swami Dave. Be careful. Be careful. All right. Thank you for the phone call. I thought that was going to get sideways.
Well, I did too.
I thought he was going to go with The Rock and do the Rudy Poo thing. I was like, it's going to get off the rails.
Of course, you know, I've grown to respect this human being I'm about to speak of, but his taste buds are trash. And Day-Day, who produces the Dukes and Bell, has tweeted me. He goes, once again, that apparently I'm letting him down because he not only loves candy corn, but he loves Almond Joys as well.
There you go.
So, you know, Day-Day, I hate it that you have the trashy taste bud system.
Man, got on that, man.
You do not have good taste.
What about Crunch Bars?
Goes along with Mr. Good Bar.
Okay,
yeah, I mean, like,
wait,
kind of
Crunch Bars are better than Mr. Good Bar.
Yeah.
Wait, you think,
maybe at number 10.
Whoa, you don't think there's enough 10. Ingredients in a Milky Way, but you think a Crunch Bar has enough?
I like a Crunch Bar.
I mean, I like a good Crunch Bar, but I mean, come
but
on
the
now.
The texture of a Milky Way or
Three Musketeers
versus a Crunch Bar, there's a little bit more to the Crunch Bar.
It's chocolate and little rice.
All right,
there ain't nothing in there.
Let's try to go, like, Allie's going, yeah, I make it with quinoa at home. Anyways, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Adam up in Canton. Adam, what's going on, man? Happy Tuesday.
Hey, guys. Happy Tuesday. Happy Tuesday. Amen. Look, Mike, that list is fire. Don't let Bo cast aspersions your way because of his limited vocabulary.
Yes. Let's go. I knew I was going to like this.
I'm with you. I agree with everything. I might swap Milky Way for Kit Kat,
okay,
but solid list.
That's right.
I will say one thing about the Butterfingers. Yes, a whole Butterfinger bar sticks to your teeth, hard to eat, but it is money in a blizzard. That's all I got. Money
that's
in
a
blizzard.
Great phone call. That's a great phone call.
Actually, that's a great top five list.
That's a great
the
phone
best
call.
Blizzards, the flavored blizzards you can get.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, I already know number one. I already know number two.
I feel like we did one,
I know number three.
One time that included like Blizzards, McFlurries, and things.
Yeah,
like
but they
that.
Were all vanilla.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, that's what I did. Fast food dessert.
Vanilla Blizzard. Vanilla.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, let's go try to get at least one more in here. Let's go to Scott over in Midtown. Scott, what's going on, man? Happy Tuesday.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Living the dream.
Yeah, hell yeah. I'm going to have to go with Almond Joy, man. That's number one, actually.
Let's go! I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's okay to come out of the weeds, Almond Joy Nation. It's okay. It's okay. Great phone call
hate
from Scott.
For so many, for so much, yeah.
There's so much hate, Scott. I don't know why all these people have hate in their heart. You know what I mean? It's a delicious candy.
Not hate. It's just
a
good taste buds.
Sorry.
Speaking of hating, let's hate on Zach Robinson. Let's get him out of here.
Well, that's a fair enough point too, Scott. Thank you so much for the phone call. I'm not opposed to that. I don't know at this point who takes over for Zach Robinson if that's the move you want to make. I don't think it serves the best interest of this team this season. But, yeah, I think there's a lot of questions asked about that coordinator role moving forward. So, kind of is what it is.
Well, look, I think you're not firing him. That's what we've seen, right?
Right.
So, Raheem needs to help him then in any way he can.
I agree.
Step in and do what he can to help out. And whatever that means, getting in there and helping with game plan, I don't know. I don't
agree.
Know.
It's a copycat league. Maybe it's time for us on offense to play a little copycat. Maybe we go steal a little bit. All right, maybe it's Raheem's time to step in that office and go, why aren't we running this, man? Did you see Andy Reid? See Mike McDaniel last week? See Kyle Shanahan? See Cliff Kingsbury? We have these formations. I don't know why we don't run these plays. And, yeah, I think it's a conversation worth having.
You know what's crazy is your takes on Raheem Morris and Zach Robinson are less controversial than your candy bar list.
That's you know what I mean?
What world are we living in?
I don't know. It's just not in different strokes for different folks on the candy bar confection list.
And by the way,
it's very evident what it is with the value.
I can make a Snickers bar out of a date.
I knew it was in there. I knew it was in there. Wow.
It's delicious.
It's time to go to the next segment.
Can you still eat candy bars?
Commercial.
I can eat whatever I want. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Coming up, little less fun topic. Do the Falcons have a problem in the trenches? We're going to get into that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Your fantasy season doesn't end after your draft. The Fantasy Football Today podcast is going to get you through the season and to a championship. Fantasy Football Today, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network, has episodes every single day. Waiver wire, trade talk, starter sit, mailbags, and more. If you want to win your league, you need to listen to Fantasy Football Today. Follow and listen to Fantasy Football Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with the morning shift. Good morning. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass. And quick reminder to join Dukes and Bell for a special edition of their show this Thursday. They're going to broadcast live from Metro Bottle on Marietta Boulevard in Atlanta. Come on in, stock up for the weekend while joining Dukes and Bell as they preview the week's biggest college and pro football matchups. Again, it's Dukes and Bell live Thursday from 2 to 6 at Metro Bottle on Marietta Boulevard. All right, yesterday, I would not want to switch places with Raheem Morris. He held a presser yesterday. Everyone wanted answers from him. He talked about Sunday's game and how the Dolphins played better than the Falcons up front and that we need the O-line to have a little bit more oomph.
It's not troubling. It's expected for them to play like that. You know, they play like that more than not, you know, but we do have the episodes and incidents this year. We didn't play as well as we should. And that's what we got to get the consistency going so we can play that well so it can operate the whole team in the offense. They're our lifeline, man, and we need them.
Yeah, I agree with everything he's talking about. And that's one of the more frustrating part. I think that I look at this offensive line the way they operated. I'm going to include Charlie Warner in there as well. I'm not going to let him go by the wayside. We talked about him earlier. He had one of his worst games, I believe, in the way he's able to stay engaged and sustain blocks. I'm with him. And I think that you are going to put it on the back of your offensive line, and I think they have to play better, there's no doubt. I would say that I think that when you run an offense with this style, sometimes these pieces kind of fall through the cracks, and this is what happens. And when you can't convert on third down and your defense can't get off the field, your opportunities become limited in your ability to fix that, and that's exactly what happened. Ryan Neusel misses a block. Charlie Warner misses a block. Matthew Bergeron may miss a block. And then all of a sudden, you've got three run plays that went for 0 yards or negative yards, and you're probably not going to run them again. But the problem is that's all we run, right? That's what our plays are. And so they kind of have to get back to the drawing board. They've got to do a better job of identification. I think it's not just Ryan Neusel in the middle, like not sustaining blocks like I talked about, but they're not identifying from the inside out. And then you add a tight end. And then you add Charlie Warner and Kyle Pitts, and then all of a sudden maybe Darryl Hodge the front side. There's more people in the box. All of a sudden, it's becoming harder to identify, and you're still not getting yards. You can add blockers, and you're still kind of blocking the wrong people or going the wrong direction. So they're going to be up against it, and they need to finish very well on their blocks this weekend, or it's going to be a long day up in Foxborough.
Yeah, I always go back and look. I mean, we're not terrible. We haven't been horrible throwing the football this year. Right. And I just wonder if it could help this offense to come out and be a little short passing happy, a little passing attack. You know, like we talked about yesterday with Arch, like the end cutting routes, right? Get the guys on the run with the football, moving away from defenders. And we've seen the last 2 weeks you've had effective drives by getting the ball on the perimeter. And short little passes and getting like Bajan and other guys the ball down, you know, and get it moving. I go back and look at the it was a fourth down play, and I'm pretty sure Cousins audible to the little swing pass out to really it looks like a screen to Pitts.
Yeah, he did.
And Kadarrell Hodge is blocking. If you go look at it, Kadarrell Hodge got his block.
Yeah.
If Kyle Pitts catches it and puts his foot in the dirt and goes forward, he might get the first down. Now, it's going to be close, and he might have to body a guy to get there. But the reality is he does some kind of weird move and runs into Kadarrell Hodge and essentially tackles himself.
We've got to stop asking Kyle Pitts to juke anybody. Like, can we throw that out there too? He's a phenomenal athlete, but, dude, you don't. That's not in your bag.
The best-case scenario for Kyle Pitts to me is getting the ball in his hands on the run. Running away from people. And I think that's the case for Darnell as well. Darnell can make a guy miss now. Let's be honest. If you go back and look at his film in Chicago, they asked him to do I'm not saying Chicago figured it out offensively because they were horrible those years for the most part, but he's a really good yak player. He is really good at getting in the ball in space and letting him make a move. And getting upfield, right? We don't do that. It feels like everything to me with him is kind of trying to take the top off of defenses. And I get it; that's his thing. But he's not a very big guy.
No, he's not.
So, do I really want him running? You know, go routes and fade routes a lot. I'd rather get him on some of those routes that he's running away from guys as well.
Well, and it goes back to our conversation that we've had a number of times about. The fact that we don't run enough play action. And when we run play action, we're just kind of faking a handoff and moseying back in the pocket and then setting up. And the protection is the same for the offensive line. We should run bootlegs and we should run play actions where you are actually rolling to the same side as the handoff as you're faking the ball to Bajan on the wide zone, and you keep rolling that way. And then all of a sudden Darnell, who would have had to block in that given situation, once those linebackers suck up for the run, Then all of a sudden he's on the cross route, a lot like you saw with Jalen Waddle against the Falcons defense this past weekend. Now you can hit him in stride. Now he can run.
There's no doubt they were ready. And I say they, as in opponents were ready this year, coming into this season for the boot game, right?
Yes.
When's the last time we saw it, though?
The naked boot, we haven't seen in weeks, I don't think.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I used to think last year I'd give Zach cover. I'd be like, well, Kirk can't move well. Dude, we're not doing it with Penix.
Well,
we're trying to use this naked fake, and it ain't working.
I believe that was a major part of it last year, because as soon as Penix started playing.
The first play was a bootleg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wonder what the thought process of that we were just so far away from it now. Like, where is that? Was it? Where is that gone, so to speak? And we did do it in that was it. The touchdown to Pitts is a, you know, like is very much a play action type play where you play action and you boot and Pitts chips and actually holds the block for a second. Doesn't even chip. He actually holds the block for a second, releases and gets out. You know what? Do it with Charlie.
Or how about this? Run it again.
Well,
he scored a touchdown on it. We haven't seen it since.
Run it again. No, there's no.
There you go.
There you go. But also, situations, I guess. I don't know.
Well, and going into Sunday's game, we already knew that Divine Diablo was going to be out. So yesterday at the presser, Raheem addressed how the plan for his absence didn't quite work.
So JD was able to get some of the stuff went out there in our two linebacker defenses, and then we're able to go out there and have some dime approach. We had only one snap of it because it wasn't that type of game. We had to go out there and put Jesse down in the box. I think it only happened once yesterday because they didn't really go for it on third down and longs. They ran the football. And the other approach was to get Ronnie out there, and the 15 snaps that he played for us, going out there and being able to play to the field to take some of that pressure off him with that speed and things of that nature. So all of those things kind of happened, just didn't happen enough. Everything kind of got out of whack, just like our run game, just like our defense, just like everything else that kind of got out of whack yesterday. So the committee approach didn't come to life like you wanted it to yesterday.
I don't want to be that guy, but the translation is that they ran the ball so well that we didn't get situations we felt comfortable putting that personnel group on the field. I would tell you that maybe you need to just figure you. I don't know if you can run that out there anymore, JD Bertrand, and that and ask him to do that, because it is a disadvantage for you and that you're being exposed. You got to figure something out.
What he's trying to say is we didn't want to put a safety in the game when they were running right at us and
that's
put
what I'm
somebody
saying.
Even lighter than JD Bertrand. Yeah,
they didn't feel comfortable.
Right.
I agree. That's what I'm saying that he's saying too. Yep. But it's not working. So what's your other? You got to, like, I get it. I agree. Didn't work. So now try something else. And if that's what you have to try, that's what you try. Do I think that it's going to look? The reality for me, I think, and I want you to really tell me I'm wrong, is I get that Ronnie Harrison's a little light in the ass for that position, right?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? JD Bertrand is reacting too slow, and he's not reacting quick enough, and he's not fast enough to play that position the way your defense is set up. Maybe other defenses, that's fine. Your defense is not set up that way. So either change something schematically or put a guy in there that's faster, maybe a little bit lighter, but is faster, and see how it goes there.
Because
it can't get much worse, can it?
His highest possible upside, JD Bertrand.
Okay.
Good dude. We've all met him, been around him.
Yeah.
Local guy. His highest upside is Paul Warlow. Like, that's and Paul Warlow went to the Pro Bowl one year, but we all know that Paul Warlow's 140 tackles that year were drag down tackles that were for a 5 and 6 yard gain. And I like Paul a lot. That's just the nature of the beast. Like, he made 150 whatever tackles that year. He went to the Pro Bowl. They were all for a 5 yard gain. And that's where your high upside is. I think if I were Jeff Ulbrich, and I think this is probably what's going to happen. This past week, you went with a 3-4 shell, right? You went with three big bodies, one of those TQ Graham, Onyemata, Sam Robert, whoever it was. You went with three big bodies in the middle, and then you used two edge defenders, whether it be Leonard Floyd and Arnold Bacady, or James Pierce played a lot at that other edge spot, used two edge defenders on the outside. So you created a five-man front. And then back off the ball, you had Caden Ellis and JD Bertrand. So it's a 3-4 shell, right? I think you go to more of a 4-3 shell. use five big bodies, and then use also Leonard Floyd at one of those edge spots. So now you kind of have the same thing, but instead of like a Pierce opposite of Leonard Floyd, you put like a Brandon Dorlus. You put, you know, another body like that, which they have shown the ability to do that in the past. So now you have kind of the same gap integrity. Maybe you kick one guy out into a head-up for the tackle. Not going to get that deep in the weeds. But you have a little more presence for some of the slice blocks, the kick-out blocks from the fullbacks and the tight ends where you can kind of keep those gaps a little bit tighter.
Let's say you want to use some similar – let's say you don't change. And do you maybe put D'Angelo, Malone – either in the role that Caden Ellis has been in, which is at times walking up on the edge and stuff, because he's a guy that's played on the edge. He played on the edge in this game. Or do you leave Caden there and slide D'Angelo in and say, look, we think we're trusting you can react quick enough. Your lateral speed is good enough, and roll him because he's a quicker player. I don't know if he's going to read and react quicker. But do you kind of test that out a little bit and to see where you're at, or is it time for Josh Woods to have his moment?
I would say I'm erring towards Josh Woods, and here's why. Caden Ellis, I think he plays off the ball. I think he's much more at home on the edge, like you're talking about. And I think that if J.D. Bertrand was the next option, I'm trusting the coaches here that that's not something Malone can do. It's Josh Woods 30. It's Josh Woods times, or we need to go find somebody else out on the waiver wire that can get it done, because what happened last week just can't be the answer.
And I want to cover one more piece that came out of the presser yesterday, because Coach says he's going to be more hands-on, but in what way? We'll get into that next. And we've got A Life of Squid.
There is a baseball documentary on Netflix that I took a watch at. I'm not finished, but it's really good so far. But there's one thing that bothers me. We'll talk about it next. Morning Show, Sports Radio 19 on the game, and
the Odyssey.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Your fantasy season doesn't end after your draft. The Fantasy Football Today podcast is going to get you through the season and to a championship. Fantasy Football Today, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network, has episodes every single day. Waiver wire, trade talk, starter sit, mailbags, and more. If you want to win your league, you need to listen to Fantasy Football Today. Follow and listen to Fantasy Football Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Thanks for being with us this morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan hanging out as well. And this hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com and get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Coming off Sunday's game, I mean, we saw it all on Twitter yesterday, starting Sunday, throughout yesterday, calling for people's jobs, calling for changes.
Yeah.
And Raheem had to answer to all of that yesterday up at Flowery Branch. One thing he did make clear is that he's going to be more hands-on.
Always, you know, we'll always be there for those guys. We'll do whatever required to go out there and try to win football games. Whatever that means, whatever that requires, we can do. And that's what we'll do this week. You know, got to find ways to get our openings back going. Got to find ways to get it going up front, get these guys off the ball. Got to find ways to get our offense and our brand of offense going with our run game, opening up our pass, doing some of the different things we want to do. So we'll find a way to get those things done.
Yeah, opening up our pass. I think that's fair to say. Need to find some different things to get done in the run game and open up the pass.
After last week, how bad do you want Penix back?
Bad, but I think that, and this is the foremost issue, and I've said this now for 3 weeks, the ability to connect our run game to our passing game. They are Two completely different offenses. I mean, two completely – there's nothing built upon. And that's why I spent so much time yesterday talking about Mike McDaniel's offense. They were able to run the ball, and when they did, they passed off of it. They knew that our linebacker was going to flow downhill. Then what did they do? Hit Jalen Waddle across the middle. Linebacker's sucked up. Jalen Waddle gets the crossing route. He's off to the races. He's running, and he's very, very fast. And it's not a personnel thing. It's not – I mean, it is a run game thing, but you know, they're finding different ways. They have to bring in jumbo linemen and practice squad tight ends, and they're able to get it done because of the scheme is working out and they're picking apart what we're doing defensively. So, yeah, I mean, we can sit here and talk about Storm Norton and, you know, Ryan Neusel and whoever else and Charlie Warner having a bad day, but until we are able to marry some of these concepts together and actually get people off balance, we're going to fight an uphill battle personnel-wise the entire time and conceptually, honestly.
I think the best thing in the world right now for this team is not playing another team that is overly familiar with their schemes and has not, you know, like all these guys kind of seem – you won't have an NFL game where there's a staff member on one side that's never coached with a guy on the other side, right? Always a familiar face across the way.
Yeah, a lot of inbred going on.
That said, the last 2 weeks, you've played guys who had, just like almost insider information about how you, like your offense or your defense or just how things. I mean, a lot of guys coached on the same sideline or same booth. Or same, you know, coach's room. So that's a good thing. You get a break from that. But I really think we need to see, like, we need a day where hopefully Drake's back, hopefully Penix is back, but you need something where if you can't run, the offense just can't move. Because that's what it's been the last 2 weeks. The fact they couldn't run the ball the last 2 weeks, and that meant the offense had nothing. There was no rhythm. Like, I don't care what you've got to do. You've got to find a way to get this team offensively early on in a rhythm.
I got a question for both you guys. And, Bo, you're a perfect person to answer this question. Is it good or bad that the Falcons are not playing here this weekend?
I think it's good. I think it's really good.
I don't know about that.
I do. Get away from
here.
They
haven't been very good on the road.
Well, as it – you know
but
what?
That was so sleepy in Mercedes-Benz.
Right.
But – the best atmosphere you've played in on the road was in Minnesota, and you probably played you played one of your second best game.
I agree with that, but you also you had them in a bad situation.
Doesn't matter.
You were able to tee off on J.J. McCarthy, and they couldn't do anything
else. But guess what? I'm sick of hearing about the J.J. McCarthy thing. That's true. You're right. That's great. But offensively, you ran the ball for over 200-something yards on a good defense, and you were like, hey, you want to play too high safety look? We'll run down your freaking throat all day long, and there's nothing you're going to do about it. And there's nothing they did about it.
I agree with that aspect. Let me throw this wrench at you. Maybe what if I were to say, is it good or bad that they're playing outdoors this weekend? Because that's the other facet. That's the other thing. When you play in San Francisco, when you play in Carolina,
I think
not great.
I think that none of that has to do with anything. I didn't think you played horrific in San Francisco. I don't think you played great offensively. I thought defensively you played better than they did pick on you in the run game, but you were able to not allow the passing game to get off based on that, which is kind of what happened last week against the Dolphins, right? They were able to, yeah. They were able to, and you didn't allow that, which is good. I don't want to be that guy, but there's nothing. What about this team is built?
It shouldn't matter. Let me make that clear. It should not matter.
No, it shouldn't. But tell me why this team and I'm just talking about how they're built can't go on the road and play outdoors in November, literally the second day of November. No matter where this at, there's nothing about this team. You're literally built. Am I wrong that you're built like a team that should play outdoors successfully?
Probably. I mean, you. I would say if you had more like earth movers up front, then maybe I would say a little bit more. But you are built to run the ball. That's very true. I asked the question specifically from a mindset factor. Like, we talked about the environment Mercedes-Benz Sunday was awful, and the team has a lot to do with that, and Raheem talked about it. He's like, it's our job to make people like us. But, man, did it feel gloomy in there. It was gloomy outside, felt gloomy inside. It was just a sleepy crowd. It almost feels good that this team can get back on the road and not deal with that. But then I look at it, I'm going, you're going outdoors and you're going to England. So I don't know that that's the best situation if you're gonna leave Atlanta.
But with two losses in a row, I feel like the fire within is a lot hotter right now. Right? To
that's
go
true.
Out.
And it's a lot more cooled off in Mercedes-Benz, to your point.
Yeah.
Like, the fans are like, all right, dude, like, until y'all do something good, we're not gonna cheer.
I think they should be embarrassed. I think you should be embarrassed at the what you put on tape against Miami on both sides of the ball. And embarrassed probably is slightly strong. I think you have to – I do think you have to be able to check your emotions when I say something like that. I think a player has to check. Don't go out there and play basically without discipline because you want to show something and do something, you know, based on that. But you should – want to go out there and say we can never allow that to happen again, and it's to happen twice, and really the Miami game, I don't care what the score was, to me was twice as bad as the Carolina game. We've talked about it.
I think the final score of both those games was probably only half as indicative of how bad the actual product was. Like, I think that Miami game could have been even more out of hand.
Well, the one thing I would say about the Carolina game is. You had moments where you just make a kick here, make a kick there. Things could have been a little bit different, right? The Dolphins game just felt like you were kind of just beat from the word go.
Yeah, I agree with that. Frustrating.
Look, I've been telling you guys about the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic, and look, the foursomes are just ticking away.
Foursomes.
We've only got, let's see, like maybe 5 to 6 foursomes.
Foursomes.
So you better go to the 1990 Game website, click on the events page, and then there'll be a link.
I cannot wait to partake in that.
There'll be a link to click on the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic, and you can sign up today and get your foursome.
Foursome.
It's all presented by Finley Roofing, and it's to benefit Pets for Vets.
Well done, Allie. All right. I started something yesterday on the Netflix. I've been in a Netflix kick with real stuff, right? Like true TV stuff, mm-hmm. I guess. Documentaries and mainly murder stuff. But
nonfiction.
But I did decide, I guess, you know what? This is kind of a murder documentary as well, because the Montreal Expos was a franchise that we knew here in Atlanta very well because we played them, and we were in the division, and they were our rival. And, well, they got killed. The actual Expos franchise was killed, and the literal name of the documentary is Who Killed the Montreal Expos? Mm-hmm. And I'm watching it, and I'm really interested in it because it was a team I grew up watching. They had a lot of players, like, dude, Delino DeShields, Marquise Grissom.
The 94 team during the strike?
Yeah,
insane.
Larry Walker.
And I haven't seen that, but yeah.
Pedro Martinez, Dennis Martinez was a pitcher there for a while. They had a really good roster. Vlad Guerrero.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Without his bat and gloves. Van Dude was a bad man up there.
They had Alomar on that team as well, I believe.
One of the Alomars played for the Blue Jays. So it's all about how they got baseball there and how it left. But I'm watching it, and the first, like, and I haven't finished the last, like, 20, 30 minutes. Yeah. But the first, it's, like, almost 2 hours long. The first 30 minutes, it's, like, bad dubbing, right? They speak French-Canadian there. And so they're clearly speaking French, but they dubbed it with English over it. And it's not synced up, and it just sounds weird. Well, I get further in the documentary, and the same people I was watching poorly dubbed are now subtitled. And I'm like,
flipped it on you.
Well, wait a minute. You can't flip the script on me. I was listening, and all of a sudden they're just speaking straight up French Canadian. And I go back and I'm like, now I got to read?
Yeah.
Like,
you didn't like that? I subtitle everything.
But here, yeah. So does my wife.
Oh, well, yeah.
So does my wife. I can't stand it. It drives me nuts because it distracts me from watching. I want to watch and hear, not watch and read.
I'm okay? with you on that, Bo. I'm same way.
Yeah, unless I know going in that it's a subtitled movie, which I didn't one time. You remember the movie, is it Apocalypto?
Dude, one of the greatest movies of all time.
So, probably the dumbest, well, one of the worst of, I really can't say this anymore because I don't really speak for a living, so I'll probably put my foot in my mouth a lot, but we go to the theater and they play a preview before Apocalypto about a sub, and it's a movie in subtitles, and I said pretty loudly, dude, who would go see a movie you have to read the whole time? That's so stupid. I don't want to go read a movie and then Apocalypto starts and I go,
oh God.
Kind of scrunched down in my seat.
Oh God.
Is this whole movie in subtitles? Dude, what the hell? You didn't tell me.
We should finish the documentary. It's really good.
Yeah, I'm gonna finish it today.
Fascinating story.
I'll have to go watch that.
It's actually pretty good.
Yeah. Make sure to check out the @929 Morning Shift Twitter account later on. We've been putting up a lot of great content. You can match the voices with the faces there. But that's going to do it for us. For Mike, Bo, Dylan, and myself, Allie Mack, thanks for being here today. The Steakhouse is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to
go watch a movie with subtitles or not.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Your fantasy season doesn't end after your draft. The Fantasy Football Today podcast is going to get you through the season and to a championship. Fantasy Football Today, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network, has episodes every single day. Waiver wire, trade talk, starter sit, mailbags, and more. If you want to win your league, you need to listen to Fantasy Football Today. Follow and listen to Fantasy Football Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.